Fanboys Guide to the Galaxy podcast. The official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. We talk about Star Wars.
Fanboy style.
You've taken your first step into a larger world.
Welcome to Fanboys Guide to the Galaxy, the official podcast of GalacticVoyage.com. I'm one of your hosts, Ryan Zasso, and with me, as always, is my co-host, Eric. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good, Ryan.
Great. I'm looking forward to talking Witches of the Mist with two very special guests. We've got our good friend Glenn from High Adventure.
Hey, everybody.
And for the first time, we've got Mitchell Halleck from the IndieCast. How are you, Mitch?
I am very glad to be here and excited to talk about this new direction that the Clone Wars is going to, fellas.
So you guys attended the screening last month, and could you tell us about your experience?
Oh, absolutely. Out of the blue, Glenn called up and said, you know, I've got these tickets to go to New York City. Do you want to go see Star Wars on the big screen? And it was one of those redundant questions where you're like, of course I do. So we just hauled ass and we went out there as fast as we could. And it was amazing to see that animation up on the big screen. And forget the story, just the fact that the visuals were stunning. And then the story was amazing as well. So, I mean, it was a night to remember, and we had a fantastic time. What about you, Glenn?
It was fantastic, and we also went with a good friend from Comic-Con, Eric Yakko.
Eric Yakko, yeah.
And that was a perfect team of three guys to, like, well, yeah, four guys, because we had Fox, obviously.
Oh, absolutely.
But, like, to power down the city, and we fanboyed it the whole way. I mean, all we talked about was Star Wars and Clone Wars and comic books and, like, you know, grown men. But we had this fun. And then we got there, and we were very disappointed that it wasn't that full.
No, I was surprised, actually. I thought we'd have to wait for a long time to get in, but, yeah, like you said, just shocking.
Right, but there was plenty of the 501st. We got pictures, and we got tons of swag, posters, T-shirts. It was epic.
I'm sorry, the thing that hurt it, I think, it was on a Tuesday night, guys, and it's one of those things, if it was on a weekend night or if it was a Friday, you know, not to be crazy, but it was like a school night, people have to work, they have to go, you know, early in the morning, so I would have liked it if it was more accommodating, maybe a weekend show, but, you know, we were there. I'm going to tell you, Glenn is fanboy supreme. I'm bipolar. I've got the Indiana Jones franchise stuff we do with the Raider.net and the IndieCast, and of course I'm a die-wool Star Wars fan. And Eric Yakko, who was there from the Comic-Con and also the Alternate Universe comic book stores, he's the Star Wars fan that we all know. He was the one who, just like us, he's 42 now, I think, he grew up with it, and he loved it, but he became jaded. And, you know, where else are you going to become more jaded than being in a comic book store? He owns and operates for the last 16 years. So he's heard it all. He's heard about the Ewoks. He's heard about the episodes, the prequels. Everything's wrong. So Eric came in very skeptical. And Glenn was excited. Fox was, you know, jumping out of his skin because he's a kid and he loves the Clone Wars. I wanted to see it, just, you know, just curiosity. But I'll tell you, Eric was the Doubting Thomas, if you will. He did not care that much about the Clone Wars because he's felt betrayed by what Lucas has done to the saga. And the fact that when that 90 minutes was over and he was just floored and he was jittery like a schoolgirl just talking about everything, that right there proved to myself that this was a home run. And that spoiler ending that, you know, you all saw last week on the Clone Wars, that knocked him out. So I'm just going to gauge my review of the movie just based on watching his expressions and his excitement. So if he was won over, then you know it was a fantastic job by everybody involved.
So good that a prequel hater loves it.
Yeah, yeah. The Star Wars hater guy loved it.
we were all pretty giddy, Mitch, after that. It wasn't just one mega spoiler dropped. It was two back-to-back because they dropped that trailer on us right after the Darth Maul. And like, we basically, what we thought we saw was the fate of Ahsoka being revealed, you know, at that time. Now I've got some doubts, but probably because it's probably coming up in this Mortis thing. But still, it was like, what? You know, ah! Oh, the inner fanboy had awoken in all of us. And the ride home was just as much fun as the ride up. We talked the whole way back, you know, till we, like, see you later, like, at our car, you know, 1 a.m. But it was awesome.
I couldn't sleep. I got up at 3:30 in the morning to write my review for the ForceNet and Rebel Scum. And my wife's like, what's wrong with you? Why are you up at 4 a.m? I go, I got to get this out while it's still fresh in my mind. So I banged out like a 3-page review that they posted on the websites. And I entitled it, I've Seen the Future of Star Wars, and its name is Savage Opress.
That's awesome.
And, you know, those guys loved it. And I happened to talk to the Lucasfilm PR guys when we were there. And, again, just raving it to them, telling them to go back to tell Dave Filoni and Kate Lucas that they had hit a home run. That this season had been pretty weak, in my opinion, with those Senate stories, and oh my God, it was like watching C-SPAN in the Galactic Senate or something, you know, like watching paint dry. And it's almost like the season of Clone Wars didn't really even start until the last 3 episodes. The ones before that were just filler, you know.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I heard they gave out free swag at these screenings. Did you guys grab some shirts or some glasses or anything like that? Oh, mugs?
Yeah. Tons of swag.
No, we got posters. In fact, I'm sitting here in the Star Wars / family room looking at my Savage Opress one sheet. I've got a couple t-shirts still here. Fox got, what, tattoos and some kind of game card for that new Clone Wars online adventure.
And I won a lightsaber because I knew what race Ahsoka was.
Correct. And what would that be?
Do you remember, Mitch?
It ha. Was, yes, a Togruger.
A Togruta. Very. Very. That's hard to remember.
Yeah. And a book, too. And a book about
and a book. Yeah, excellent. That's, so, yeah, that was it was big-time swag. It was fun.
And don't forget that popcorn and the soda were free. So the Lucasfilm people know how to treat us fans, I'll tell you that.
Yeah, George gets a bad rap for being greedy, but I don't think he's greedy at all. He donates so much money, and then this was, like, completely free, and free shirts, free mugs, free food, free drinks. People pegged him the wrong way.
Yeah, you know, and I'll tell you what, talking about generosity there, it was one of those moments where if you don't ask, you don't tell, and I happened to talk to the PR guys at Lucasfilm over the last couple of years doing the IndieCast and the Raider.net. But it was one of those spur-of-the-moment things. Christmas was in the air, and I just looked at them both, and I said, hey, how do I get a tour of Lucasfilm? When are you going to be in the neighborhood? And I just stopped, and Glenn was there. I almost fell on the ground. And I said, well, my wife has to go out to California in a couple months. They're like, well, yeah, here's our card. If you're in the neighborhood, give us a call, and, you know, we'll arrange something for you. And I could have floated home, man, and I still haven't come down off of that. I've been counting the days off on the calendar like a little kid, waiting to get out there to see what I can find. And, you know, even if I just go to the men's room and there's a picture of Yoda on the urinal, I'll be like, oh my God, this is the most amazing thing ever, you know. You don't even have to flush it, you just wave your hand. But no, George has always gotten that terrible rap. Like you said, the man gave half of his fortune, which is like $3 billion, to charity in the last couple of years. He's always worked with the education system, he's done stuff for schools and civil rights. I mean, the guy's giving all types of monies away, but, you know, it's one of those things, as you know, if you're going to give something away or do something good for somebody, you're not supposed to, you know, tout your horn and say, look at me, look at me. You're just supposed to do it because that's the right thing to do.
When you got home from these screenings, did you find it difficult to contain what you learned from these episodes?
Absolutely. It's because I went home and I just made one post on Facebook, like, my head's gonna explode, you know. And my friends Schwa and Shad were like, ooh, that's not good, you know. I can't sleep, you know. Like, oh no, that was it, man. Like, I can't sleep, you know. Yeah, I was pumped, but you know, I was also at the peak of my Ahsoka love at that moment in time, and I really thought that she was going over the dark side. So I was really upset. I mean, kind of in a weird way about that, you know, but in a neat way. It wasn't the Darth Maul spoiler that got me nearly as much as that, but there were some mega spoilers in there, man. Like, and like the death of King Katunka, that kind of blew me away. Like, I can't really kill that guy. Like, he was such, it's a neat character, and like so brutally killing.
I like it.
Yeah. course, the, like the whole betrayal thing, you know, that like kicked it off was amazing. And yeah, it was really hard. But thankfully, some idiot on Facebook did it for me anyway.
was there really somebody that told the ending?
Yes.
They really did.
Oh, I didn't see that. It was too funny because we were texting Kyle Newman, the director of Fanboys, in the cab ride back home to the train station because Kyle had seen it the night before out in Los Angeles. And I was asking him what was going to happen, and he was being very secretive. He's like, oh, it's going to blow your mind. And then when I saw the ending, I remember looking right at Glenn, and I'm like texting madly in the theater as the movie's ended. And I'm like, oh, my God, you didn't tell me Darth Maul's alive? And he just writes back, he lives. So here I am. I mean, Kyle knew about it. I knew about it. And Jimmy Mack over the Forcecast, he went to see it. None of us said anything to each other because I was going to try to talk to Dan Curto too, and he didn't get to see the movie. He was supposed to fly down there to New York City, and for one reason or another, he missed it. So here we all are. We all, like, I got a secret, like little kids in school, and we can only talk to each other about it, you know? And I'm like, well, what about this? And do you think it was really him? And was it just a vision? And is he going to be like a Sith ghost? Because there's Jedi ghosts. Why can't there be Sith ghosts? And nobody is out there to talk to about this. I mean, it was insane. It was me, Glenn, and Eric, and
Eric.
Emails. And,
you were in the
dark. Now that everybody knows, it's kind of anticlimactic for me, though. What do you think, guys?
Hold on. You think you were in the dark. I found out, like, December 7th from Star Wars Insider. It gave me the spoiler about Darth Maul being alive, and I had to wait a month and 2 weeks to find out if it was true or not. That was torture.
I managed to stay completely, like, spoiler-free, so it felt like all the waiting of kind of staying away from all the social media and the forums kind of paid off when I finally found out the big reveal.
Were you guys, like, thinking it was a dream or, type of, like, a dream sequence type of thing? It wasn't real? I guess we'll have to find out tomorrow night if it is or not.
I don't know if we are, though. It doesn't look like it follows the same story. I think we're going to have to wait, like, 3 months to find out.
Oh, jeez, I was hoping it's next. I hope it's tomorrow, because I figured if they're going to show Qui-Gon, it might show Maul. You know?
That'd be awesome. It's like a Episode 1 reunion tomorrow. Shmi, Qui-Gon, Darth Maul.
Yeah, they're fighting somewhere in the netherworld. That'd be kind of cool.
Oh, that would be.
Tomorrow, Mitch, either. But then again, anything goes tomorrow. We're in, like, the center of the Force. Like, anything's possible tomorrow. But anyway, but back to this app, though. You know, it's so foggy, the image of Maul. And I keep questioning, why is it, like, you know, through a prism, and you can't really, it looks like him, and then it does look like him, and then they say it's him, and I don't know, it seems so, like, what's going on here? But it seems like the popular theory online right now is that he's going to be a cyborg Maul.
Oh, like in the comic book.
Yeah, Tales.
Right. Mm-hmm. Which would be cool. Like, maybe that's not why they're not showing his lower half there.
One of my theories is, you know how Mother Talzin, she's like a female Palpatine. Her motives are really unclear, to say the least. And, I thought she was helping Ventress, but then Savage reveals that Ventress betrayed him, so why would Talzin help him unless she has plans of her own? So,
I was going to say that part of the story, I think sometimes we get so excited about, you know, what's going on that you have to go back and watch the story and see all the subplots that's going on. Was that getting a little too convoluted that, wait a second, now we have Asajj Ventress, who's looking for revenge against Count Dooku. Count Dooku's under orders from Chancellor Palpatine or Darth Sidious to wipe out Asajj. That's the main story. Mm-hmm. And then you're right. Then they got this whole subplot about her revenge by using Savage Opress. I mean, ultimately, who's trying to double cross who this time? I mean, is it the Night Sister's revenge on Count Dooku? Is it Savage Opress's revenge on Asajj? Now that it's almost as convoluted as the Clone Wars sometimes, you know, you get a headache when you start to think about
it. It's like they all betrayed each other.
Yeah.
They all fought each other for power. And at the end, I was a bit confused when Savage went back to Mother Talzin and said, Mother, Asajj betrayed me, but I watched it over again. I'm like, not really. Like, he kind of betrayed both of them. Like,
yeah,
right,
and
then
right.
threw them and then ran. Like, at what point did she betray him? I didn't quite get that. Did you guys get that?
Nope.
Yeah.
But kind of, you know, yeah. It's like,
I kind of,
for her to help wipe out Dooku, and then she joined up with Dooku and fought against him. That was the betrayal part.
For 1 second, but they were like defending themselves. That's what I thought. I guess that was the betrayal. Big deal. You know, you're choking me, you know? Get away from me, ah! You know? I don't know.
Yeah, neither do I. But, you know, it's kind of like George says. He treats Star Wars as music. You know, certain beats repeat themselves, but they have a different twist on them. So, and something I caught was, this episode was a lot like an Empire Strikes Back in a way, but with the roles reversed. You have the training by Count Dooku that's just like Yoda's training for Luke, and then with the big reveal at the end, it's just like the big reveal at the end of Empire Strikes Back, but instead of father, it's brother.
Wow, that's an interesting way of looking at it. I didn't think of that. I know the Yoda training thing, I saw that parallel, but I didn't think of the whole...
Yeah, but they're both Zabrak. It's kind of, really, the brothers? Could never see that coming.
Did you guys get hung up on that whole Zabraks aren't supposed to be from Dathomir because they're from Erodi? Is it Erodi?
Iridonian,
yeah. I mean, see, that's the problem with the expanded universe. We love Star Wars so much, we consume every ounce of it that's out there, and it's stuck in our brain like extra calories or cholesterol clogging our veins. And then when the good stuff comes in, the antioxidant Star Wars stuff, we can't get rid of it because it's already stuck in there. And sometimes it ruins the story because you get hung up on these expanded universe tales that you've read from other authors, but that's not George's Bible. And you get hung up, you're like, wait a second, they can't be there because I know that they're not on that planet and they're really from another world. Does that creep into your mind every time you watch this show?
Well, they explained it, you know, with a short, you know, sentence that pretty much summed up what happened. I mean, it was Mace Windu said that, yes, the species is from Iridonia, but a small faction moved to Dathomir. So, I mean, it doesn't bother me if they explain it, but if they just kind of leave it and kind of ignore it, then that sometimes, you know, takes me out of it a little.
It doesn't bother me too much. I treat the EU and the Clone Wars as two separate continuities. I treat, like, there's George's Star Wars, and then there's the separate alternate Star Wars, which is the EU for me.
I try to make it fit as best as I can into one. Just so it's a big universe. So, what about you, Glenn? Do you find these continuity twists, you know, a bit confusing? Or?
Most of the EU that I really enjoyed was post Jedi or pre, you know, New Hope, because I'm kind of an OT guy, you know, just kind of who I am. So I haven't read a lot of EU from that time period. So no. Not really. And I never took it that seriously anyway. I never really did. I'm not a purist that way. I enjoy what George Lucas does so much, and he's surrounded by so many brilliant artists that I can't help myself but just, like, that's what I wanted this whole time, you know? Like, the Eve was just there to, like, supplant nothing from George Lucas, you know? But I never took it that seriously, but... I just love where it's going, and I have said this from the beginning, but I have great faith in Dave Filoni. I've met him now a couple of times, and, you know, and I've listened to his voice, and I've read his words, and he really loves Star Wars, and we are in such good hands, and he also can't talk about anything. Like, he knows everything that's going to happen. Can't talk about it, you know, but you know it's great. Like, and so, my faith was definitely, you know, rewarded by these last three episodes, because I've been sort of defending him this whole season, and in my every season, basically, but, very cool, so I just have great faith in that, so, but I just enjoy the ride, Dave, and you are my EU, so that's my answer for that.
guys, real quick, I know I talk to Eric all the time, and he saw the film with Glenn and I, and his being concerned was that he's frustrated because he always thinks, well, Attack of the Clones and then Revenge of the Sith, you got 3 years. And he's always like, wait a minute, all this backstory happened within that 3 years. And he kind of gets hung up on it, and like, you know, how could this possibly have happened? And where's Ahsoka? She's never mentioned again. All that. And I said, well, you know, 3 years is a long time. Just think of your own lives. A lot happens in 3 years. You go to different jobs, you meet people, whatever. Do you look for an animated Star Wars somewhere down the road that tells the stories, or maybe they don't need to be told? Between The Empire Strikes Back, Return of the Jedi, that 1 year, like what Luke did when they were out looking for Han. Or do you want to see another backstory about the 10 years between Phantom Menace and Attack of the Clones? Is there any segment in the Star Wars chronology that we haven't talked about yet that you guys want to see further?
Personally, I think that the period in between Episode 4 and 5 is probably the most unexplored, and I think that an animated series would be, you know, perfect for that era. I mean, it's Luke learning a little bit more about the Force, you know, Han becoming this hero of the Rebellion, you know, he's a natural leader now, I guess, and, you know, just the Rebellion moving to various spots. I think that's sort of what I envision for a OT era animated series.
For me, I would like to see between episodes 3 and 4, but I'd rather that be live action instead of animated. But I think I would like to see something post Jedi for an animated series, or maybe between A New Hope and Empire Strikes Back.
Yeah, no, I loved all the comic strips by Al Williamson and Archie Goodwin. When they told those stories, like, you know, how Darth Vader got the Devastator, or the Executioner, Exeter, whatever. Though I thought they were fantastic. And the Bounty Hunters on Ord Mantell, all that type of backstory, you know, that they just throw away. And they're doing that now. I'm surprised we haven't seen a flashback to Obi-Wan and Anakin fighting that Gundark, you know, the nesting Gundark they fell in.
On the subject of the animated show, I think I'd love to see something post New Hope, but post Star Wars, like the original, before it was called A New Hope, and back then the EU was the Marvel Comics, and we bought the comics and we read them and we're like, God, can that really be the future of Star Wars? And then we got The Empire Strikes Back, but why not just, you know, clear the slate and do it again? And just tell Star Wars tales of that classic era.
Yeah.
And, you know, just like being a kid again, you know?
Oh, yeah, I always love that last shot of them all getting their award and their medallion. And you see Luke in that yellow jacket with the gun strapped to his leg. You know, I was like, wait a minute, he's dressed more like Han Solo than he is Obi-Wan Kenobi. And, you know, when Han always offered Luke to come with him because he was pretty good in a fight, I was all set to go see these adventures as a kid, you know, because I thought the Empire was wiped out. You know, I was 11 years old when the Death Star blew up. I thought that was all she wrote. And these guys had a clean slate, and they would go out and do all new adventures. I never really thought of it as being this entire galactic empire that was over thousands of worlds that would continue this battle forever. I thought they were just going to be freewheeling space pirate adventures.
Totally.
I kind of looked forward to seeing how Luke and Han were going to get into trouble next time, and Chewie, and, you know,
right. Also for the adventures of Han and Chewie, and you know, Luke and Leia, and the future was unknown and unwritten, and we were kids, so we had a, you know, big imagination, you know?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I would love to read those stories again. In fact, even when the Expanded Universe novels come out, I tend to go towards the OT stuff that comes out and say, you know, oh, I want to read more about what happened to Luke. Not the New Jedi Order stuff, but in between the movies there. They had a couple so far. Those were really well received.
So back on the subject of Witches of the Mist, what did you guys think of the Republic Commandos cameo?
Personally, I thought they were very cool. They designed great models for them, and But, you know, outside of what we saw from the preview clip at Celebration 5, there wasn't really much added to that. I mean, it was, we basically saw their entire segment at Celebration 5. Mm-hmm. I thought that was a little disappointing. But very cool. I hope they come back, hopefully.
Yeah.
So, I mean, they're not going to make them just use them once in a 10-second clip. So what did you guys think?
They'll be back.
Yeah, the economics of animation, they're not going to put all those models out there. If Scorch and
Sev.
Yep,
Boss.
Sev.
Boss.
And Fixer.
Yeah.
They're not going to make those and just have them throw away for Gameo. They're going to have a lot of explaining to do when the bills come in. They're like, who did this?
They're cool, though.
However short it was, it was very cool to see him.
I love that new shuttle, man. That thing is sweet. I'm buying one of those things, man.
I heard that's going to be the new, the big fig toy or whatever you want to call it for next Christmas.
Buying that shuttle, dude. That thing's mine. Anyway, sorry, go on, man.
Oh, nothing. I was just thinking, that got me thinking about toys to get.
Well, of course, the Savage Opress, you know, Fig is a no brainer. When can I buy that? Like, here's my money, let's give it to you right now.
Yeah, I'm not too impressed with the Clone Wars action figures, though. There's, like Kyle Newman said in the Force Cast, Collector's Cast, they're too articulated. There's like elbows on the knees and like elbows on the wrists. You know, it's just. I think they need to make them just like they make the movie figures instead of trying to make it look like they do in the TV show.
What figures on the subject of are we dying to see from season 3?
I want to see Papanoida.
Where are you, slime? You say that all the time in my house.
I want to see some ARC troopers.
Yeah. Yeah.
And
that was sweet.
The new Obi-Wan and the new Anakin and the new Ahsoka.
I think we're guaranteed to see those.
Yeah. But yeah, did you guys notice that Savage Opress's lightsaber sounded very different from everybody else's lightsaber? It was kind of like a helicopter-like noise.
No, I did not.
It was really low pitch compared to the others.
I did not catch that.
So what did you guys think of Savage's training by Dooku?
Very similar to some parts were, you know, very similar to Yoda training Luke on Dagobah. You know, some lines, I believe he said, you asked the impossible. I thought that was cool.
Yeah. We actually, hey Mitch, we asked a question. What action figure from season 3 would you like to see?
Savage Opress?
Well, like besides him, obviously.
From season 3? This last season? Let's see.
Or a sideshow.
I would say Mother. What is Mother Tantis? What is her name?
Thousand,
that's it. I don't know, because I saw drawings of her years ago in the art of, was it the Phantom Menace or the Attack of the Clones book? That's where they got the image from. It's kind of cool, but it's not very action-oriented. It's more of an aesthetic. It's very artsy. Let's see. I would have to stick with the Republic Commandos done in a Clone Wars animation style.
Yes, that'd be cool.
Gotta have more clones, man. Gotta have more.
ARC troopers, right?
Yeah.
No, they're not ARC troopers. They're...
No. And the Commandos. Oh.
Yeah, it's getting crazy. There's so many different... And I said this to Glenn, too, because Fox is such a huge fan of Commander Cody and Captain Rex that remember on the way home, I said, doesn't it bother you when you watch the original Star Wars now and you see all those guys getting whacked by Luke and Han that you kind of feel bad going, geez, I wonder if that was Cody or Rex who just killed him. Kind of ruins it for us.
My kids were playing, you know, just today, and they were still calling the clones good guys.
Yeah. Because
they are in this story, you know, but they still don't really, like, I'm sort of, like, dreading when they realize, like, oh, They're all bad, though.
Well, see, I asked my 10-year-old son, Owen, that. I said, you know, when the clones turn bad with Order 66, is it because they're programmed like a, you know, like a robot and somebody threw a switch, or are they under a spell by the Emperor? And he just looked right at me and goes, no, they're just soldiers following orders. I go, whoa, easy there, boy. I've heard that story before in history books. But no, he has no problem with it. He's like, no, they're just soldiers, and that was an order, and they had to wipe out the Jedi. No, what's the big deal? I'm like, yeah, really? I just think they're inherently bad. They're just bad guys. There's no redeeming qualities about them. So it kind of drives me nuts when we see these episodes like the deserter, and he sees that he has a family. You know, he gets some of these guys, like Heavy Fives and all those guys. You kind of get attached to them, and then you just want to see them be wiped out. Ewoks throw rocks at them.
it's getting pretty heavy, and it's pretty dark. And, you know, when everyone saw the screening, you know, like we all said, it's dark. Yeah. Night, of course, it's dark, you know. And, like, the Clone Wars is getting dark and scary, and, like, I actually, for the first time ever, and I think you said this on the last show, Aaron, but I actually didn't let my youngest two watch it. For the first time ever. And it's like, it's great, because, like, oh, he kills his brother.
Yeah,
it's brutal.
Yeah.
It's brutal. And they're brothers, you know? I hope that it's not all like this, because if this is just the beginning of the Nightfall, it's like, wow, it's going to get really dark before it's all done. It's like, I kind of like a little bit of a lighter side sometimes, you know, like my Star Wars, you know, but it's not a complaint, man. It's going to be fantastic, but I still want to watch it with my 3-year-old, you know. It's like, before I could, you know, yeah, there's a lot of shooting and stuff, but whatever, you know, boys like to shoot, it's just what they do.
Yeah.
Not so much, but scary stuff like that, like, woo. So, you know.
As a fan, I'm really enjoying the darkness, but I can see that if I was a father, if I was your age and had kids, I would be a little bit disappointed. But as a fan at age 15, I'm excited about where it's going.
Yeah,
that's
great.
I'm
excited.
I think that it's good to have some of it, you know, but not all of it. It's kind of just like a phase. A phase of the Clone Wars, you know, kind of how Empire Strikes Back was just kind of, you know, the darkness phase of Star Wars. So I think that we'll get into, you know, darker episodes, but then it'll eventually, you know, get back to its lighter self. So
yeah, sure.
As long as you don't have an episode about C-3PO finding a cake, finding an ingredient for a cake, I'm okay.
Okay,
That's interesting that you just said that, the whole violent thing, and that's usually such a Hollywood clutch, if you will. You know, they go for the violent angle to get people excited, like a comic book always has a really knockout, drag-out battle. I didn't think of it like that, but have you guys thought for a second that they're pulling out all the stops? Because I got to be honest with you, I have heard that the ratings dropped a lot this year, like by 25%, and those Senate episodes weren't helping much. So is this them pulling all the tricks out of their bag just to get everybody back by pulling out, you know, all-out battles and action and lightsabers and, you know, Sith lords and all that?
I'm not sure. It might be pretty hard to develop all three of these episodes in a matter of 3 months, but I think they did this because they know that Star Wars fans love action as well as great stories, so...
Yeah.
And mm-hmm. I think these... I read an interview where Katie Lucas said that she's been working on these for, like, 6 years.
Wow. No, I know. It's just one of those old Hollywood standbys when all else fails, you know, start shooting. People don't look away when there's a good battle going on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, do you guys think the Jedi know that Ventress is still alive? Because... at the beginning of this episode, they were under the impression that she was dead, and they never really saw her alive. They never mentioned her being alive, so do you think that the Jedi believe she's dead?
Yeah,
I think they do. I don't know, now I gotta go back in my mind, is there a scene where they could have saw her? No. I'm more surprised, like, what's gonna happen to Count Dooku? Does he keep the secret from Palpatine? that she's alive, that he screwed up, that he let her go. Because he told him that she was dead, and then she came back, so I guess that is his dirty little secret.
Yeah, going into this episode, I had a ton of questions about the outcome, and I went out of this episode with even more questions than I came in with, so...
A lot of fans are complaining about
I'm wondering, is the Tartakovsky show completely non-existent anymore? That never happened?
I sure hope it happened.
Well, see, because my son says that. He goes, oh, did Anakin kill Asajj Ventress when they fought on Yavin and he threw her off that, you know, whatever pit?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't Obi-Wan kill Darth Maul?
Yeah. I don't know. Watch the stories and you go, well, what's canon now and what's not canon anymore, you know?
I heard that she had faked her death, but, you know, it's... Yes, that's what I think, too, so...
Yeah.
You can't go too crazy, because if you ever got into the Clone Wars video games, there was another character that Count Dooku had working for him, this little bounty hunter, like, with a little patch on his eye. Do you remember the character? It was a couple years ago.
No, I don't remember.
Yeah, it was in one of the PS2, PlayStation 2 Clone Wars games. And then the Asajj Ventress had another helper. What was that guy's name that turned his body into... different weapons, and Anakin sent him into his son to kill him at the end. And Obi-Wan fought him, cut his head off. Dirge, that's it. Dirge,
That guy. She was cool.
Yeah, that guy. I don't think that's real anymore in the Clone Wars cartoon series. I think that character is it.
We don't know. You know, the Clone Wars is planning on going on for another two seasons at least, so anything's possible.
We'll just have to wait and see. I know, it's so funny. We don't want to see Star Wars go away, but in the same breath, we want to see how it ends, you know?
Yeah. So what did you guys think of the death of King Katuko? I wasn't expecting it at all. I mean, I kind of expected Dooku to say, you know, bring him back alive, but... I wasn't expecting, you know, Savage or Press to kill him, but it makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
And, you know, he's been around, he's been in the show since the first episode. So,
no, right. Yeah.
It's kind of a big deal.
I like
him. Like Jar the Hutt, you know?
Yeah.
And he is sort of like.
Yeah, I'm kind of bummed. I was like, ooh, he's cool. He's dead now.
Yeah, it's so dead. Yeah.
I forgot Zero's dead too.
Yes, yeah. but they're sort of setting us up. Like, that's the brilliance of the show. That's why I put my complete faith in it, put my heart in it, because I know it's going to be a glorious payoff in the end, and it has been already. But they set up these characters for you to love them on purpose, and then take them out, and so you realize, wow, it's a war, you know, it's the Clone Wars, and there's a price that I got to pay, you know. But it is. Great.
There's two things I'm waiting to see on this show. One is Darth Kinster. I think that would be a fantastic storyline. and the story I had for years, since we found out these stormtroopers were all a clone, as a kid, I always thought that there was maybe some human guys mixed in there, you know, like people volunteered to join the army.
Yeah.
And I'd love to see that episode where you get somebody from the Republic who gets all gung-ho, wants to fight the Separatists, preserve the Republic, and they sign up to become a stormtrooper. And, you know, they take their helmet off, and they're the only person that's unique because everybody else is a clone of Jango. And how does that feel? How do they feel to be, like, fighting side-by-side with a bunch of guys who are basically the same person? And are they accepted? And what happens there? Because, you know, all the officers are human.
Right.
But they're not. Well, no, they're clones, actually, on the Clone Wars. But, you know, the old movies, they were all like Admiral Oswald, Captain Pierre.
Right. They were guys. They're not clones, right. Well, no. There's probably a draft. Well, at some point, there's probably a military draft, you know, because clones are getting all wiped out.
Mm-hmm.
Plus, we have Admiral Ilarin in the Clone Wars. He's not a clone.
Who?
Admiral Ilarin. He's not a clone, and he's an admiral.
Yep. Right. Yeah, but I'm wondering whether the grunts, the actual foot soldiers, become humans, or are always going to be clones into the old trilogy.
I think the DNA gets stretched too thin eventually, and then they start bringing in regular people.
Yeah. I remember reading something about, like, the Empire, like, brainwashing people, so, like, they, you know, they're more susceptible to taking orders and stuff. And yeah, I know that
they get all their costumes turn white instead of having colors in them because they remove all the individuality.
Right. But there's definitely, there is definitely grunts that are not clones in the Republic Army. I remember in one of the Coruscant Night books, one of the guys was, I think he was a sergeant, and he wasn't a clone, but Coruscant Nights takes place after that, so you kind of miss out on what his thoughts are about serving in the Republic Army.
Well, I remember the old Marvel comic when there's a scene of two stormtroopers without their helmets smoking what I assume is a cigarette and forth, and I was like, oh my god, there's guys under there. It was the freakiest thing I ever saw in the old Marvel comic books, just two normal-looking dudes with their helmets off.
I was under the impression that they were robots at one time.
Really?
Yeah, because the Legos, yeah, way back when, when you took off their helmets, their faces were completely blank.
Yeah, so, yeah, no, they're still like that in some of the sets. Yeah.
So that's what I thought when I was a kid. So.
So what did you guys think of the?
I was pretty sure that they were just you know, regular foot soldiers that got drafted too. I didn't. Yeah. I think when I pictured the Clone Wars, I guess I pictured what everybody else pictured, that like this army rose up out of somewhere, some planet somewhere, like some race of clones, and like attacked the Republic or something.
And the Jedi fought them.
Right, and the Jedi fought them off, you know. But I didn't know. I mean, it was kind of one of those great throwaway lines that years later becomes a beloved line.
Yeah.
And so beloved that spawned all of this, you know. But it was more like, I don't know. That movie was all about Luke and his journey, you know. And the father backstory was interesting, and later it got fully expanded upon. But you remember Luke and his X-Wing and his lightsaber were just about the most amazing things we'd ever seen, you know.
What did you guys think of the three-way lightsaber battle? It's all dark side battle. Saj versus Savage and versus Count Dooku.
It bugged me that Dooku pulls the lightning card, you know? It's like, what's up with that? Why don't these other guys just learn how to do this lightning thing and they'd be all set? But yeah. I guess he keeps that close to the chest, doesn't tell everybody how to do that one, you know?
Yeah.
Either. But it was exciting to see. It was well choreographed, all that. You can't fault the animation. It's just, I don't know, when Savage was fighting Obi-Wan and Anakin, and you go, wow, the guy just battled a Sith Lord a couple of seconds ago, and now he's like, man. It almost gets too much sometimes when, like, Obi-Wan was still a Padawan, and he managed to wipe out, well, maybe he did manage to wipe out Darth Maul. You know, sometimes they make them seem so strong and so athletic that you scratch your head and we go, well, how come they can't beat this guy up? And Obi-Wan was managed to, you know, take out Darth Maul, but he can't take out some fun.
Well, because the dark side is like, it's like pure anger. That's what feeds the dark side. And Savage was like pretty angry.
Times 10.
Yeah. And Darth Maul was really unsuspecting. I don't think he was too angry. He thought he had Obi-Wan dead. There was no. He had no idea that Obi-Wan was going to jump up and cut him in half.
Plus, we still have that underlying subplot that the Jedi are becoming weaker as the dark side's growing stronger, that they're losing their ability to use the Force. So, you know, you could always throw that in the mix and say that's why they can't beat him, because they're losing their powers, according to Mace Windu.
Count Dooku's not that angry, though, to be a Sith Lord, or he keeps his anger totally in check because he never shows. He's always calm and cool, whereas all the other Sith Lords are full of anger. You know,
eyes are yellow,
consumed with hate, and he's just like, no, you know, he's all, that's kind of interesting, but he really is a badass Sith Lord, because if you watch that scene, man, he's like, for half of it, he doesn't even have his lightsaber. He like dropped it. He's just like, whoop, he's like, whoop, 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 whoop. Just moving his body around. Like, she's like, you can't touch the guy. He's like, you can't beat him, man. Like, you like put a dart in him, three lightsabers, can't see. He's like, still gets you. You know, like, he's so powerful. But how come Anakin takes him out, you know, A, and look at Chump. It's like, ah, that whole four-room scene could have been so much better. But, you know, but he and it would have been cool if he had had a different Sith power, if the lightning had just been the Emperor's ultimate evil. If he had some other cool thing, because I, even in F2, I was like, ah, lightning? You know, can he let, like, a storm or something, like, you know, like, something cool. Yeah. Even.
It should have been only the Emperor's ace in the hole, you know?
Yeah. If I'd written Star Wars, but I didn't, you know, because I'm not George Lucas, so.
I actually love this battle.
Be organic, and that's why Vader could never do it, because he didn't have human arms to project the lightning.
I actually loved this sequence. It was one, to me, it was the best lightsaber battle in the Clone Wars. It was epic. I wish it would go on for another half an hour.
Oh yeah,
yeah, it was great.
Yeah, it was.
It was great. It was fantastic. Absolutely. That's some of the best Star Wars. It's like when we walked out of that movie theater and started, you know, blogging best Star Wars ever. Some people were like, "I don't know. I've seen some pretty good Star Wars. This is some of the best Star Wars ever." Like. That's a true statement.
Yeah, no, looking back at all 3 years of the Clone Wars so far, I'd say this is the most exciting story arc.
Yeah, I really enjoyed these episodes. The best of season 3, and probably the best of Clone Wars that we've seen in all. So, it definitely ranks up there with, you know, Rookies, Ambush,
How about the season ending last year with Boba Fett?
Yes, that's true.
My final thoughts were that I loved it. Some of the best Star Wars we've seen since Episode 3, and I'm sure it's just going to get better, so congrats, Dave Filoni, and everybody, Katie Lucas, for an amazing arc. And that's going to do it for me.
All right, yeah. All right, thank you everyone for joining us. Let's give out some contact information. All right, Mitch, how can people find you and all that you do?
If you're a Star Wars fan and you follow the ForceCast and Force.net, why shouldn't you? You could easily find us. We're the IndieCast, and we do a show every 2 weeks. It's all about Indiana Jones and the past, the future. And this year we're celebrating the 30th anniversary of Raiders of the Lost Ark. So tune into the IndieCast. It's on the ForceCast app. And you can find me there. And if you want to find out more about Indiana Jones, go to the Raider.net. And that's a website that's been going strong for 11 years now, and I'm a news writer for that. So find me there. And if you happen to be in the Connecticut area and you want to see comic books and you want to see Glenn Nelson, head to Comic-Con. That's Comic-Con with two N's. And this August we'll be having our second show, and we hope to have Kyle Newman there, and we hope to have Karen Allen from Raiders. And we're going to have Glenn, I know that for a fact. And who knows what other surprises. Oh, and one other thing. There's going to be a couple who's going to get married at the Comic-Con surrounded by the 501st. And we're going to have an R2-D2 as the ring bearer. So if you happen to be in the New England area, make sure you set it August 27th as Comic-Con Day, because it's going to be a fun time for everybody there. So.
Great.
Pretty much where you can find me.
Cool. Okay, Glenn, where can people find you?
SpaghettiCake.com, HighAdventureMusic.com, where you can always grab our brand new free album from My Adventure. And of course, I'm on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube, and MySpace, but mostly Facebook. So check me out on Facebook, and I'd love to say hi to anyone who listens to the show.
Excellent. Okay, you can find us on Galactic Voyage, our home website. You can find us on iTunes. You can find us on Facebook at facebook.com/galaxyfanboy, Twitter at galaxyfanboy, and you can email us at galaxyfanboy@yahoo.com. All right. Well, thank you for downloading and listening to Fanboy's Guide to the Galaxy. Thank you.
This podcast is not endorsed by Lucasfilm Limited or 20th Century Fox, and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. Star Wars, all names, characters, or any other Star Wars-related items, is the registered trademark of Lucasfilm or their respective trademark or copyright holders. Thank you.